In our musical comedy theater tonight, there are many ardent musical comedy fans who have come to pay their respects to this most famous and venerable of all musical comedies, composed and written in the vintage year of musical comedy, 1899, Leslie Stewart's Floradora. There are many young people here, too, just as familiar with the evergreen Stewart melodies as their parents. And an enthusiastic reception greets the appearance of the conductor and the overture to Floradora. The scene represents a small island of the Philippine group. It has everything, everything that the theatrical resources of the day could muster. Downstage, the office, warehouses, and private laboratory of Cyrus Gill fame, the inventor and manufacturer of the world-renowned perfume Floradora. In the background, a vivid vista of flowering tropical plants, clustering blossoms and palms, also the sea and a landing stage. The manager of the Floradora estate, Frank Abercoyd, on the pleasure before business principle, is busily engaged at the moment in making love to the leading lady, a handsome girl in a Spanish costume whom he addresses as Dolores, with great ardor, and the music of their duet, Somebody.
If you're in love with somebody, happy and lucky somebody, tell me, I pray, her name and say, where did you meet her? What was the day when you met this somebody?
Oh, somebody, why should I tell the day? Well, give this kiss to somebody. There's none in the world like she. On land and sea, wherever I'll be, my heart will be here, just here with somebody. Since you know her well, my lady, you are the image of somebody. Yes, you are the image of somebody. somebody
if
for.
That are not quite clear, Dolores has a privileged position on the island. And when the millionaire Gil Thane arrives with his party, including his attractive daughter Angela, the intrepid husband hunter Lady Holyrood, and her brother Captain Arthur Donegal, he loses no time in pressing his suit on the lovely Dolores. An orgy of matchmaking follows, in which the old gentleman is abetted by the rascally Professor Tweedlepunch, self-styled scientist and phrenologist, who impresses the millionaire with his skill in determining character by the study of cranial bumps. Gil Thane wants Angela to marry Frank Abercoyd, who's just come into a title. But Angela has found her own affinity, without the benefit of phrenologists. Yes, Angela is in love with Lady Holyrood's brother, Captain Arthur Donegal of the 4th Royal Lifeguards. But the man who threatens to take true love right out of its course is Professor Tweedlepunch, who flourishingly announces every entrance by saying, "My photograph." In the first place, he has come to the island in search of a Spanish girl called Gisara. Her father, apparently, was the man who originally owned the island and discovered the formula for the Floradora perfume. And when he discovers that this Dolore is the girl he's been looking for, he promises to help her outwit the scheming Gil Thane.
She won't look at me, says the professor, so I'll help her to marry Abercoyd with the help of that wonderful science, phrenology. Here you are, my photograph.
There is nothing we disparage like an ill-assorted marriage. You must choose your wife with phrenologic care. For the realm beneath her bonnet has your future mapped upon it. So when you're engaged, take down her hair.
When you're engaged, take down her hair. When you're
she
engaged,
she may declare it fidgets. As you fumble with your digits, you reveal her well-developed bump of crime. You may find her one day thick than your nocturnal rule with strychnine. Be advised and jilt her while there's time. Yes, jilt her while there's time.
Be advised and jilt her while there's time. So be advised and jilt her while there's time. Be advised, jilt her while there's time.
So you know wedding need be dreading once phrenology's defined. What is the virtue that will hurt you and the vice you need in mind? Set science at defiance and to grief you're sure to come if you are scorning every warning of the craving.
Yum, 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 yum. What is the virtue that will hurt you and the vice you need in mind?
Set science at defiance and to grief you're sure to come if you are scorning every warning of the cranium.
Heavily bribed by Cyrus Gil Thane, Tweedlepunch agrees to give head readings to the party, which will influence them in the choice of wife or husband, as the case may be.
It's marriage by natural selection, ladies and gentlemen, he says impressively.
And when Dolores' turn comes, the professor declares that nature has graciously designed her to be the wife of her lord and master, Gil Thane.
Come and kiss your husband, Dolores, says the old man.
But Dolores flies to Frank Abercoyd for protection, and Abercoyd, a fine manly type, confronts his employer with, "Mr. Gilfane, I protest against this plan. Give up this sham science and let us marry with our hearts direct." But Gilfane insists that Abercoyd shall marry his daughter Angela. "Do as I order you, sir." "I will not," says the young peer. "Then I dismiss you from my service," the old man shouts. So Frank Abercoyd, penniless peer, is forced to leave the island. But never fear, Dolores. Wherever I am, you will always be in my thoughts, waiting for me under the shade of the sheltering palms. Which is a pretty broad hint to the conductor. Resuming our story, by a happy coincidence and various pretexts, all the characters who appeared on the island are now in Abercoyd Castle, a stately old pile in Wales which Cyrus Gilfane has purchased from the impoverished Abercoyd family, and the plot proceeds without interruption. Lady Holyrood is still making designs on the millionaire, who is still determined to appropriate Dolores, who still waits for her lover Frank, though not, as he prophesied, under the palms. And Angela still means to marry Captain Arthur Donegal of the 4th Royal Lifeguard. Newcomers are the 6 smart London girls who've come down to the castle for the weekend. And to inspire Gilfane's 6 young clerks to ask that question, immortalized by Leslie Stewart's, "Tell me, pretty maiden, are there any more at home like you?"
Tell me, pretty taken. Are there any more at home like you?
There are a few handsome, but simpletons and proper too.
Then tell me, pretty maiden, what the very simple girl is do.
Answer
then
the
tell me, maiden, what the girl. Take a little walk with me, and then I can see what a most particular girl should be.
I love you too well to let you go and flirt with those at home you know.
Well, don't mind a little girl, you'll see, I only want a
few. It's not quite fair to them if you told them that you
I don't care a pin for your sisters if you love me.
What would you say if I said that I liked you well?
I bow to you.
On bended knee.
On bended knee.
If I loved you, would you tell me what I ought to do to keep you on my alone? Tell always be true to me.
If I love you, be a silly thing to do.
For I must love someone.
Then why not me?
Yes, I must love someone, really.
And it might as well be you.
And another guest to the Abercoyd Castle, but an official one, is Professor Tweedlepunch. By means which are not quite clear, he now hopes to establish Dolores' rightful claim to the Floradora estate. Dolores, of course, is more concerned with finding Frank Abercoyd, and they both find a willing ally in Lady Holyrood. It is her suggestion that they should pose as a couple of strolling players, calling themselves the Prapses. But little does Dolores suspect that her beloved Frank is also sheltering in the castle, disguised as a Welsh bard. And when Angela finally informs her of the presence of her lover, Dolores' joy knows no bounds. Lord Abercoyd here? She gasped in genteel tones. Oh, I'm longing to see him. Ah, I wonder if he meant it when he said that I was his only love.
In the Philippines lived a maiden fair with wondrous hair and eyes so rare that the men were all inclined to swear by the maid of the Philippine Islands. Now a stranger came in the days of old to this land of scent and sunset gold, and his story of love he demurely told to the maid of the Philippine Islands. Yet he told her that she was his only his only love, his one and only love. And she said, I'm afraid you must be lonely, love, if it's quite true what you say. He insisted that she was his only love, quite his only love, his one and only love. And he vowed he'd be true, and he vowed you. And he vowed the sea away.
And then follows a brief pie-throwing comedy scene between Tweedlepunch and the waiter, followed by the entrance of Angela Gilthane, who learns for the first time that Dolores, and not Cyrus W., is the rightful owner of the Floradora fortune. Tweedlepunch, by now convinced that no good will come of concealing Dolores' identity, also takes Lady Holyrood into his confidence, and together they plan revenge. At a ball which Gilthane gives in the baronial hall of Abercoyd Castle, elaborate gowns and handsome uniforms make a smart section. Captain Arthur Donegal of the 4th Royal Life Guards makes a resplendent entrance as the band strikes up, I Want to Be a Military Man.
Captain And the stress as usual is out of it today for a regular dandy man. No single woman cares. She won't upon your suit or you. I've heard the worldly say, till you've done the guard that Tommy Atkins wears.
I want to be a military man.
There came a cry to arms, the frog who lost his chance, and so the top became a cropper and the rat a plan. You lose a lot of chances and you don't get asked to dances if you're not dressed all in khaki like a military man. I want to join the military, Terry. I've got no chance with Jane or Flo or Mary. I want to hear the marshal rat the plan. I want to be a military man.
And it's my plan again.
I want to be a military man.
These commendable sentiments are cheered by the Galleryites, and Angela Gilfain is more determined than ever to marry the dashing captain of the 4th Royal Life Guards. But the plot to unmask her millionaire father is about to unfold. Just as Gilfain announces his engagement to Dolores, Tweedlepunch, ferociously disguised as an ancient Welsh bard, shouts, "Stop!" and proceeds to accuse Gilfain of many nefarious deeds. "Robber," he cries, "usurper, swindler!" Point to these accusations is given by the entrance of Lady Holyrood, thinly disguised as the ghost of Evergoid Castle. And for Gilfain, she predicts the most horrifying end unless he repents. Cowering and twittering, Cyrus W. Gilfain confesses. The secret of the Floridora formula belonged to his old friend Gisara, and everything he possesses is, in truth, the rightful property of Dolores. Only one thing he asks for, he will make amends. But will they please, please get rid of this wandering bard? At which Tweedlepunch whips off his beard and says, "My photograph." Dolores and Abercoid enter. Lady Holyrood does likewise. Angela and Captain Donegal of the 4th Royal Life Guards embrace. And the entire company dresses the stage for a song from Dolores.
Woman's love is but a tender flower that blooms for one alone. 'Tis not a blossom for an idler that soon aside is thrown. Winds may be cruel or the tempests blow, storm clouds or cast the sun shine, yet may you find it ever blooming in its sweet perfuming, dearest within this heart of mine. He loves me. He loves me not.
Shrine.
sweet summer wind that blow, or silver sea on leafy shore, but still at night a loving soul
Time has come for the show to close, and as usual, everyone is assembled for the finale, during the singing of which, Professor Tweedlepunch goes down to the footlights, distributing photographs of himself to the audience. For the departing patrons that musical comedies may come and go. But there's only one Floridora, and even the ushers, those silent impenetrables, whistle ever so faintly the tune of Tell Me Pretty Maiden as another night ends in our musical comedy theater.